Mark 10, beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he, speaking of Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Or as the margin reads, Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You'll notice in verse 52 that Jesus concluded his interview with Bartimaeus by saying, Thy faith hath saved thee. So this little account, this historic record of Jesus' encounter with a blind man, should be notable to you for the faith of Bartimaeus. Christ commends it to him and to you. Your faith has made you whole. Such a commendation should make you very interested in the man Bartimaeus, because you as an individual have a great need for faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. God requires and expects faith from you, and he will one day require it of you when you stand in judgment. We read in Galatians 2 that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The only way to receive approval in the court of God before which you must one day stand is by having faith in Jesus Christ. God is going to make you answer for believing on the name of his Son. In 1 John 3 and verse 23 we read, This is God's commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has not only invited you to believe on Jesus Christ, God has not only said it would be good for you to believe on Jesus Christ, as your maker and your sovereign, he has commanded you to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. He expects you to do so. Therefore, your welfare in this life and your destiny for eternity hangs on this matter of faith. The Bible makes this plain, if it makes anything plain, you must have faith to dwell in the presence of God and to live forever. Bartimaeus will teach you what faith is. You must ask yourself the question often, do you know what faith is? Could you intelligently tell another person what faith is? Many people speak about faith in our generation, but can you tell us what it is? What is faith? Do you believe on the name of the Son of God as the Lord has commanded? Have you seen saving faith within your own heart? Bartimaeus will show you what faith is. Boys and girls, if you look carefully at this passage, you will see plainly and very practically what faith is. It's hard sometimes for children to understand terms like faith. It's abstract. It's hard to see. Jesus has shown you plainly in this account of Bartimaeus what it is to believe, what it is to be saved by believing. First, you'll notice as we look at Bartimaeus that faith is a thoughtful conviction. Faith involves thinking. It involves certain information or knowledge. Now, faith is more than just understanding of certain facts, but faith involves a knowledge, thoughtfulness. Beyond that, a deep conviction concerning these things of which Bartimaeus himself thought. Bartimaeus had accurate information. First, the realities of his life gave Bartimaeus a knowledge of himself. Bartimaeus knew a great deal about himself. Everywhere around Bartimaeus was people talking about colors, shapes, scenes that they saw, things that they had seen. So that every day the conversation of other people convinced Bartimaeus that there was a deficiency in himself. They had sight, he was blind. There was a difference between him and what men ought to be. Men ought to be able to see. Men ought to be able to work. He could not work with his hands. He was blind. Every morning he had to feel his way without sight to a public place where he would cry out and ask people to give him bread so that he could continue living. Other people that he knew worked with their hands. They went to a shop in Jericho and earned their own bread. Or they went out into the fields around Jericho and labored for a master. But Bartimaeus recognized that he was useless to the masters of Jericho. He couldn't do anything with his hands because he couldn't see. He was useless and could not get a job. Each time he stumbled, Bartimaeus was reminded that he was deficient. When anyone led him by the arm, he was forced to think that he was dependent on other people and of little use to them. His position in society is illustrated by what he did. He sat by the wayside begging. He showed that he thought himself to be useless, helpless, and miserable. He would cry out as people came by saying, "Please give me some bread." He was dependent on society and useless to them. Now, the Bible tells us that your condition by birth is like that of Bartimaeus. You and I and every son of Adam is born into this world without spiritual sight, without understanding, without the ability to see the glory of God in His creation or in His Word. The hearts are darkened, according to Romans chapter 1. We are born in a generation of which it is said there is none that understands. And some of you, even to this day, have never seen the glory of God nor understood who Jesus is. You have become a helpless, groping parasite on God's world. We were made to glorify God, to give Him praise, and to enjoy Him forever, and to serve Him. But without sight, we are unable to serve our Master, our Maker. Unable to bring pleasing works to Him, to praise His name. Being born dead in trespasses and sins, and blind to the truth of God, we are unable to be useful in God's creation. Useless. Helpless to give ourselves understanding, just as Bartimaeus was. And yet there are some people in our day who have never faced up to the reality of their condition by birth. And perhaps some of you are in that condition today. Some who have never recognized that they are useless parasites on God's creation, blind to the glorious spiritual truths of God. If Bartimaeus had lived in a place where everyone was blind and no one would ever have talked about the things that they saw, perhaps he would have come to the conclusion that he was whole. If he had never begged for bread, perhaps he would have thought of himself as a rather good fellow and one who was useful to the world. But Bartimaeus did not have that situation. It was plain to him every day that he was deficient, that he was not what he should be, that he was useless in the world in which he was living.
But you and I live in a society where few people talk about God and his glory. There are few people who witness to the glorious beauty of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And because there are so few who speak to us of it, there are many who walk about without a knowledge of God and his truth, who think that they are whole and are not aware that they are deficient in sight. It's a kindness when you begin to meet someone who will talk to you about God and the things that they've seen spiritually with the eyes of their hearts.
Some of you who were not raised in Christian homes remember the time when you first met those odd people who started talking about the glories of Christ. What did they see?
What was this new and eternal realm of which they were speaking? What is this kingdom of God? You couldn't understand it. And you began to realize, well, if they can really see this, I don't have any sight.
So you ought to, by your witnessing, Christian, bring people to be aware that they have not eyes to see the glory of God. Boys and girls, you live in a home, many of you, where you hear often of the things of Jesus Christ, and your parents love to come to church and hear the word preached.
And you often ask yourself, what is it that they see in all of this preaching? Why do they always love to be reading the Bible? Why do we always have to have devotions every day? What is it that they see in all of this?
As your parents speak to you of their fellowship with God, and you're a stranger to it, and as they talk to you about the great beauty that is in the Scriptures, and you don't see it, it ought to be a constant reminder that you need to have your eyes opened. Just like Bartimaeus needed his eyes open to see the trees and to see the houses. Some of you need to have your eyes opened by the supernatural work of Christ to be able to see the truth of God and the great things of which the Scriptures teach us.
The realities of life taught him about himself. But the reports of Jesus gave Bartimaeus an understanding about him. He had heard that there was one who was called Jesus of Nazareth, who healed blind people and even raised the dead. Some said that he was the Messiah, but he didn't come from Bethlehem, where the Jews expected the Messiah to come from. He came from Nazareth.
And they didn't know the story of his being born in Bethlehem and then going to Egypt and coming back to Nazareth.
So they could not understand how a Messiah could come out of Nazareth. And Bartimaeus was sitting in darkness and poverty. Being a poor man, he couldn't entertain himself with the things that rich people could. He couldn't spend his time feeding his body and all of the desires that his body had. He sat in darkness and he could not read the things that were written in his day. So as he sat in darkness and poverty, he pondered the increasing reports that he heard of this Jesus of Nazareth. And as he thought and pondered on these things, Bartimaeus came to the conclusion that he was surely the prophet of God. Yes, though he was from Nazareth, he was the Christ, he was the Son of David, for he cried out when Jesus came by, "Jesus, thou Son of David, thou Messiah, the true prophet sent from God." He came to that conclusion thoughtfully from what he heard of Jesus. He was convinced in his heart that this was the Christ. And if ever Jesus passed his way, he could open his eyes as he had opened the eyes of other blind men, as he had heard. He was sure that Jesus could help him. He was the Lord, as he addressed him in the passage. He was the King of creation, who could transform the bodies of men to strength, to having sight and seeing. He wasn't able to hear the reports about Jesus' miracles with idle curiosity and say, "Boy, I wish I'd seen one of those miracles." He wasn't able to do like the Pharisees, sit back and ask, "I wonder if he's really doing miracles or whether these people really were sick in the first place." He wasn't able to say, "My, that's interesting. I'd like to see more of it." Bartimaeus had such a terrible problem he couldn't see. He couldn't earn food for himself. That when he heard that there was one who healed the eyes of the blind, he had to think about himself in relation to that person. If you hear of a great heart surgeon who is able to transplant hearts and to deliver men from the doorway of death, you're able to think, my, what a wonderful man he is. But if you're about to die because your heart is deficient and worn out, and you hear of a man who can transplant a heart and give you years longer of life, you're unable to think of that person with such detachment and objectivity. Bartimaeus did not just come to the conclusion, that's right, Jesus is able to heal. He is the Messiah. But he was personally involved in his conviction, to the point where he said, if Jesus ever comes this way, I'm going to call upon him because he can heal my eyes and make me to see. You see, faith is not a detached agreement that Jesus is able to heal and to make alive. It's a personal conviction that I must be made alive by Christ or perish. Faith is for the blind. Salvation is for the lost. Jesus Christ came for sinners. And then we read in the story that one day Jesus passed by the way in which Bartimaeus was sitting. He had come to a thoughtful conviction. And as Jesus came by, we see that faith involves a mournful petition. For in verse 47, as Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, thou son of David. It comes only after conviction of your own misery and of Christ's mercy. That's why many do not pray for salvation, because there is not this thoughtful, deep conviction that Bartimaeus had. When the Lord is nearby, faith calls out to him. Faith prays. If you don't pray and cry out for mercy, then certainly you don't have faith of which the Scripture is speaking. Faith prays. Bartimaeus prayed. He cried out for mercy. Faith can't be silent. And notice that his cry was fervent. He began to cry, the passage says. I'm sure that it was not a formal statement that he needed mercy. The helpless beggar couldn't see Christ, and he was crying out to get his attention. In Christ was his only hope of receiving sight. None of the doctors of his day could heal him. He used all of his power to address the Savior. Some will tell you that you shouldn't pray until you've been converted, that you must first know that Jesus is your intermediary before you can go to the Father in prayer. You can't petition God until you've had sight. Don't you listen to them. You do like Bartimaeus did. And pray, for prayer is part of the faith that lays hold upon God and brings mercy to the sinner. Poor sinner, you cry out to Christ in your misery and in your darkness. Christian, do you remember the hour when you first cried out for life and for mercy? Was it not like Bartimaeus crying fervently from the heart, earnestly, for something that you could not give yourself? Notice, too, that his prayer was humble. He asked for mercy. But then, you know, Bartimaeus was used to begging. He was used to begging. He lived on mercy. Every day he had to go out in the public highways and ask for mercy. And if people wouldn't be merciful to him, he couldn't eat because he couldn't work. He lived on mercy. He knew what it was to depend upon others, to cast himself upon the kindness of other people, to receive that which he didn't deserve. You proud Americans have quite a disadvantage. That's why Jesus said, how hard is it for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? For those who are used to feeding themselves and giving their family security. For those who are used, when they're in trouble, to getting out of the trouble all by themselves. For those who know where the money for their next trip to the hospital is going to come from, and where there's a doctor to heal their next difficulty in body. To ask for mercy is to confess helplessness. To ask for mercy is to confess a desperate need which cannot be satisfied for oneself. Is to confess that we have no claim for that which we're asking. That's what Bartimaeus did. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy. As a beggar asking you to pity him and give him bread, so you, if you are to have faith and enter into the kingdom of God, must become as a beggar and ask for mercy. Ask God to pity you and to give you that which you do not deserve. It was a humble prayer as well as a fervent prayer. It was a persistent prayer. At the first cry of Bartimaeus, Jesus didn't say anything. And often that's the case in the Gospels. People would cry and Jesus would not answer. Remember the Syrophoenician woman who walked after Jesus crying out and crying out and crying out again, and Jesus didn't answer. So it was with Bartimaeus. Jesus didn't say a word. And did Bartimaeus wring his hands and say, "Oh, I suppose the Lord isn't going to help me"? No, you don't know much about begging. When your life depends upon receiving mercy from others, and the first cry does not receive your request, you do as Bartimaeus did in verse 48. He cried the more a great deal. If Jesus is tired of healing men who are blind, I'll have to make my case look more pitiful to him. If Jesus is far off so that he cannot hear me, I'll have to cry louder. You salesmen, when somebody says no to your product, you don't give up with the first no. And the beggar, when he doesn't receive bread at his first cry, doesn't give up crying. And the man who recognizes that his life depends upon mercy does not give up prayer to God. He prays again, the more a great deal. For his thought was, "Oh, if Jesus passes me by and goes on down the road and doesn't heal my eyes, I am forever left in the blackness of darkness." So it is, sinner, if you don't receive mercy from Christ, there is a blackness of darkness forever waiting for you. You must cry and cry again. There were some who discouraged Bartimaeus. Verse 48 tells us many charged him that he should hold his peace. Beggar, stop bothering Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's on his way to Jerusalem for a triumphant entry. He's just healed Zacchaeus in the town of Jericho, and a great crowd is following after him, thinking that the kingdom is about to come. Now you be quiet, beggar. He doesn't have time for you. But like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel and said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me," he prayed on and cried out all the more for the discouragement of men, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And notice what effect his fervent, humble, and persistent prayer had on Jesus Christ. We read in verse 49 that Jesus stood still. He stood still. Christ was on the most important mission of his life. Look back at verse 33 and 34, if you will. He had just told the disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." With the weight of the realization that his hour was come, when he would be delivered into the hands of his enemies, and he was on the way to the cross, with Satan tempting him to turn aside, he would not stop. With dignitaries asking him if he would not be turned aside from the cross to lead a great political movement among the Jews, he would not be turned aside. But when a poor beggar cried, he stood still. He stood still. Just as when God came to Moses in the burning bush and said, I have heard their cry, he heard the cry of a man in need. And his ear is always open to the cry of needy sinners. Remember when Joshua was in the battle in the valley of Ajalon? He lifted up his hands and the sun stood still. Here was a beggar who lifted up his hands in prayer and the Son of God stood still to give him attention. Many of the religious men of the day who claimed to have insight did not halt Jesus on his journey. Many of them had theological questions. No doubt many of the Pharisees were very self-important in the crowd, telling this poor beggar to be quiet. But Jesus stood still when he heard a poor man's cry. Here is someone who understands the purpose of my coming. To heal the blind. To give deliverance to the captive. A man in distress gets the attention of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we read in verse 49 that Jesus encouraged the sinner with an invitation. No, actually, as you read it, it was a command. He commanded him to be called. Oh, the gracious invitations of Jesus to sinners who acknowledge that they are in a desperate case and need salvation. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You blind men, come to me. Bartimaeus, arise and come to me. He commanded him to come. And the invitation of Jesus Christ gave hope to the sinner. Faith is thoughtful conviction, and it's a mournful petition. But notice as the passage goes on that faith is hopeful action. Look carefully at what Bartimaeus did when Jesus invited him. Verse 50. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The crowd said, be of good cheer, he calleth thee. Jesus is calling for you. Just as the preacher says to sinners, Jesus Christ invites you to come to him for life and salvation. For the opening of your eyes and the unstopping of your ears, for the cleansing away of sin, he invites you, sinner. Be of good cheer. He calls for you. And some poor sinners hear that word, be of good comfort, and they sit there in their sins and be of good comfort, taking comfort only from the invitation of Jesus to all sinners. Not this man. He did not wish to remain a beggar. He wished a change to come about in his person so that his whole life could be transformed. And he arose and he went to Jesus. Some counselors will try to give you comfort just on the basis of his general invitation. But he would not take comfort until he had gone to Jesus. He, casting away his garment, rose. Casting away his garment. Stripping himself yet more even of the beggar's garb, that he might stand before Christ naked. Casting away the garment that represented his former way of life, he needed no more. He was going to the Savior to have his eyes opened. He would not need to sit any longer by the wayside and beg. He would repent of his old ways. He would get up from the roadside and take off the beggar's garment. As every sinner who comes to Christ must cast off the dead works of this world, be rid of the former way of life. Repent and believe the gospel. He rose and he came to Jesus. He knew that Jesus' invitation did not mock him, nor did it encourage him to sit where he was with hope. But the invitation was to do something, to actually get up from his former way of life and come unto Christ and cast himself upon the Savior. When Jesus calls, he means to help and to save. And Bartimaeus said to himself, I'm going to arise and go. And immediately, casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus and actually cast himself before him. Oh, some of you have sensed your need as Bartimaeus has, and some of you have begun generally to call out for mercy. Even as Bartimaeus did, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Please forgive my sins. Cleanse me. Deliver me from destruction. Bring me to the hall of God where I may be justified in your righteousness. Jesus says, arise and come to me. Arise out of your present way of life and come unto me. And cast yourself in full trust and confidence upon me. This man arose and he went. And look how he addressed him in verse 51. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Lord, you are the King of heaven and earth. You are the true Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, in effect, what do you want? Why are you calling out like that? You see, a beggar would cry out, have mercy upon me, when he wanted bread. Bartimaeus had been very gentle. Have mercy upon me. Just what is it that you want, Bartimaeus? Be specific. What do you want from me? Are you asking for bread? But Bartimaeus knew that he was in the sight of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. And bread was too little to ask from his hand. He would not even ask for gold and rubies that would ensure him a heaping table for the rest of his days. That was too little to ask from the Son of God. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Sinner, do you ask for life, eternal life, from the Son of God? Have you seen that in Jesus Christ there is a person who is fully able to give you all that you need for time and eternity? Do you come asking merely for bread? Or do you come asking, as Bartimaeus did, Lord, make a change in my very person, that my entire way of life may change, that I may receive my sight, that I may have understanding, that I may be able to see you in all of your glory, that I may be able to become useful again in the kingdom of our God? Lord, you are the Master, that I may receive my sight. We read in this passage, immediately he received his sight. No sinner has ever yet ventured to arise and go to Christ. Some have sat by the wayside crying, have mercy on me, with their lips. But none have ever arisen with their hearts and gone to Christ and cast themselves upon Christ in confidence that he was able to give all that they asked and never been turned aside. Not one. And so you should arise and go to Christ, that you might receive life. You ought to boldly run into his presence, as did this poor blind Bartimaeus. You ought to throw off your robes of beggarly service to sin, the robes of covetousness, where you sat begging the things of this world and serving them with your strength, and arise and go for some heavenly bread from Christ. You ought to throw off the robes of adultery, whereby you have been begging for pleasure for your body and sustenance to feed your lusts, to rise and go to Christ and ask for that which is really needed, life, the transformed person. This is faith, thoughtful conviction, mournful petition, hopeful action, doing something decisive with your heart, arising and going to Christ, repenting and believing. Finally, will you notice from this passage that faith is thankful submission. We read in verse 52, and he followed Jesus in the way. The Lord said, go thy way. And Bartimaeus, by his action, said in effect, Lord, my way is now your way. My way is your way. I'm going to follow where you go. He did not go to Christ to receive some favor only to return to his former way of life. But now he was a changed man and he followed. And by following, he openly owned that Jesus is truly the Lord, and he joined the band of disciples walking down the road in his entourage. And so if you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you must continue to follow him. Don't ever suggest that you have had faith if you do not follow the Lord. For faith involves thankful submission. He that believeth on the Son of God shall have everlasting life. And he that obeyeth not the Son shall not have life, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Open identification with Christ and obedience to his commands. That's why on the day of Pentecost, the disciples said, repent and be baptized. Openly identify yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Be baptized. And when they were baptized, they continued with one accord in the fellowship of the disciples, in their doctrine and in the breaking of bread. They joined the group of those who were following Jesus Christ, openly confessing that they are his disciples. That's part of faith. Openly following him. And following him implies also obedience, imitation of his way of life, walking as he walked in righteousness and not in sin. How could Bartimaeus return to his beggarly way of life? Who would give him bread now that he was transformed? How can the Christian return to immerse himself in the world? For he can no longer beg in the service of Satan as he did at one time. And he will not receive the charity that he did at one time before. His eyes were opened. And his eyes were opened not just to talk about the flowers. I've heard people who explain this text about Bartimaeus and say, oh, how he must have been all excited about the flowers that he saw for the first time in the buildings and all of their beauty and so forth. Listen, Bartimaeus' eyes were fixed on Christ. And his eyes were open to behold the Savior, and he followed him. That's what faith does. It opens the eyes to behold the beauty that's in the Lord, and a man follows after him. None has ever seen the beauty of Christ who does not follow him. It fascinates the heart of a man who is truly saved. And I, if I be lifted up, would draw all men unto myself. And when Jesus Christ is opened to the eyes of a sinner, he is drawn to that Savior and to follow after forevermore. Faith is thankful submission. He rested upon mercy alone and was forever indebted to mercy. Follow after Jesus Christ. Sinner, I'd like to give you the encouragement that Bartimaeus had to tell you that he is indeed the Son of God who came into this world in the form of flesh and blood, and that he died on the cross to forgive men for their sins and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures to break the bands of death and hell and destruction. And that this same Jesus passed by in this world offering all men encouragement. He calleth for thee and includeth thee in his invitation. Yea, more than that, in his command. God has commanded that you believe on the name of his Son. And you are encouraged by the invitation, come unto me. And when such a one arises and goes to Christ and trusts in him as Bartimaeus did, he's never turned him down. No reason for your hesitation, except that you may so love the bread that you receive on the highway of this world that you beg through the flesh, that you don't want to follow Jesus Christ. You don't want to leave that way of beggarly living in the servitude of Satan. You don't want to follow. Well, Jesus does not give sight or life to any who will not follow. But the invitation is to you to come, to go to Christ, not to come forward in the church, but to go to Christ. And immediately, if you do so, you will receive your sight. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Gospels which were written to show so plainly and so practically the great truths by which we may be saved. Oh, grant faith unto this people here assembled. Grant unto thy people who have believed on thy name that they may follow after thee fully. And grant unto our children that their eyes may be opened. Oh, may they even this day cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And may they even more go unto him, arise from their way of sin, and go and cast themselves wholly upon him. Be pleased to heal even them. and any strangers who may be here. Oh, may they know something of faith and of the Savior. For we ask it in His name. Amen.
The message or lecture that you've just heard is a production of one of God's servants intended to give glory to Him and edify those who hear. Let us be mindful of the labor of love in much prayer, study, and preparation that went into its production, and especially the presence of God's Holy Spirit in both the author and the hearer, as it is given here on this tape. We of Mount Olive Tape Library are truly grateful to both the author and the institution that produced this material and granted us the permission to reproduce it to God's glory and the spreading of these messages throughout the world. Further reproduction of these tapes are welcome for personal witness, for church libraries, for institutions, but reproduction of these tapes for the purpose of resale is forbidden without the express permission of the Mount Olive Tape Library. The Mount Olive Tape Library Incorporated is a nonprofit, tax-exempt corporation, begun and continues its operation from the gifts of God's grateful saints all over the world. Please direct all correspondence to the Mount Olive Tape Library, Incorporated, Post Office Box 422, Mount Olive, Mississippi, 39119.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest thank you.